Amen. And let God minister unto us tonight through His Word. We want Brother Wilson to take his liberty, his time, do whatever he wants. We have until 1:30. If he gets done early, we'll do other things. Amen. But the main thing is the Word of God. All of it up to this point is to God's Word. Are you hungry tonight? God bless Brother Steve Wilson. Let's give the Lord a big hand clap as he comes right now. God bless him.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. I'm glad I'm in His house tonight. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Do you feel the liberty here tonight? Do you really feel the liberty here tonight? Jesus is here right now. Why don't you reach out and touch Him? Why don't you reach out and touch Him? Praise God, praise God, praise God. It's an honor to be here. It's an honor to have been asked to preach this very special occasion. 1989 Youth Convention, Seminaries of the Lord Jesus Christ. I feel about like the old black man said one time, get your buckets out, it's fixing to rain. Come on, I said, get your buckets out, it's fixing to rain. The Holy Ghost has been raining already here, and we're not through yet tonight. Now, I don't want you to hurry me too much. But there's an old man at home says, if you get in a hurry, you mess up every time. But I'm built more for speed than I am for comfort. So don't worry about it. I'm not going to hold you all night. But this is the most important part of the service, isn't it? The Word of the Lord. Thank you again, Youth Department, Brother Martin and your staff, for giving me this opportunity to speak to these fine folks here tonight. Brother Johnson, we honor you and the rest of the executive board, the general board, these fine guests from United Pentecostal headquarters. We appreciate them taking out of their time to come be with us tonight. All the rest of you ministers and saints of God, precious young folks that's ready to make the rapture. I believe there's folks in here right now, if the Lord come, would make it. Yes, sir. If anybody makes it, we're going to make it. We're baptized believers in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, talking in tongues, living right. I don't know anything else it takes to make it. Do you? Praise God. Praise God. And we do give honor to the heritage that I have. I appreciate being raised in an apostolic home and atmosphere. Even though my dad and mom are not here tonight, I want to give honor to them in their absence. I was raised in church, almost born on the church pews. There was 10 of us children, and there was so many of us, they left me one time at church. And it was dark and quiet, that old church building about 35 years ago, something like that. And I looked out through that auditorium that was cold and quiet and dark. And I found out there wasn't anything any spookier than a quiet apostolic church. You know what I'm trying to say tonight? Praise God, I need your help here. I need about 500 over here to help me, and about 1,000 right here to help me, and another 1,000 right here to help me, and about 500 more over here to help me. We're going to have church before we leave here tonight. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen, amen. Paul said, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach. Praise God. Are you ready for preaching tonight? You've stood up bunch of time, but I'm going to ask you to stand just one more time in honor to the Word of the Lord. Picking up your Bibles to the book of Numbers, the 13th chapter, verses 1 and 2 and 17 through 21. Numbers 13. Numbers 13, verses 1 and 2 and 17 through 21. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. Verse 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. Everybody say, spy out the land of Canaan. And said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is. And the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the tribe, rather the time, was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob as men came to Hamath. Back to the 17th verse tonight, chapter 13. The Bible said, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. I want to preach to you tonight about spying out the 90s. Spying out the 90s. Shake hands with somebody and say, I hope he really preaches to me tonight. You may be seated. The meaning of spy means to collect information. It means to discover by close search. We stand here almost underneath the arch tonight, the gateway, if you please, from the east to the west. With trouble and distress on both sides of us, we can go as far as the west coast tonight and see them trying to recover from the ruins of the earthquake. We can also go to the East Coast tonight and see those people, and some of you were victims of that, Hurricane Hugo, and they are trying to recover from the ruins of Hugo. But I want you to know tonight, right here in the center of the United States, we are engaging upon a new era in our time. I think we've had a good past, but I feel like our future is even brighter. Even though the enemy may be raging and throwing all kind of things up in our faces, I've got news for you tonight. We didn't come this far for him to leave us. He didn't bring us this far to let us down. He brought us this far to take us all the way through. Woo! Hallelujah to God. When he told the children of Israel to get out of Egypt, he didn't say if you get out. He said when you get out. Praise God, it's not if we make it to heaven. It's when we make it to heaven. Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So standing under the gateway from the east to the west, we are now on the threshold of the 90s. We have had some good successes through our youth department and the organization of the Assemblies of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm sure that other apostolic groups can say the same. But there is a challenge before us as apostolics to go hand in hand and reach Canaan. Hallelujah. Canaan is not necessarily the type of heaven. Neither the 90s are the type of heaven. But there are some parallels that I could bring, I feel like, that are prevalent to us and we can relate to tonight. There is an opportunity that lays out just across the river. Amen. Moses, by the Lord, sent these 12 spies. There was, if you please, a wisdom of arrangement here in that he chose one ruler or leader out of every tribe so that every tribe could be represented in what they saw. And each individual could go back to their tribe and tell them what they saw in Canaan land. Hallelujah. I feel like there's been even the children in this place and the teenagers in this place and the elderly in this place that have looked already into the 90s to see what God has got to offer for us. Praise God. God had already declared the excellency of the land. He said, I will lead you to a land of milk and honey, a good land. God had promised to guide them to it. He gave them a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Don't you laugh at Brother Wilbanks when he said he saw a pillar of fire stand behind his pulpit. If God can give the children of Israel a cloud of fire by night to lead them, he can give us a cloud by fire. Hallelujah. He promised to guide them to it. Number two, he promised to drive out the heathen nations. Number three, he promised to give the possession of the land to them. Number four, he commanded them to go up and possess it. Now, God can give us a lot of things, but he's going to command us to go out there and get it. Go out there and do it. One scripture said, be strong and do it. He sent men to search the land simply to find out if it was good or bad, etc. He didn't send them out there, young folks, to see if we can take it or not. The black preacher said, do you dig it? Come on, he didn't send us out there to see if we could take it. He sent them out there just to see what it was all about and get a taste of it. Praise God, I'm glad I'm made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. I've been able to taste the good things of God, even in this service tonight. I've tasted. If heaven's anything like this, I sure want to make it. I said, if heaven's anything like this, Brother Carpenter, I sure want to make it. No, no, no. God didn't send men to search it to see if they could take it, but just simply look it over, taste the good things there, and to come back and to report the conditions. The conditions of the land, whether they be fertile or barren, wooded or bare. See if the towns, number two, were walled or fortified or open. Number three, look at the people. See if they're strong or weak, few or many. And God always does things on time. Timing is very important in our work for God. We don't just preach just a message because we want to. I believe it's got to be timed right. It's because we pull it out of our files. I believe God's got a timing for all things. Timing was important when he sent them over there to spy out the land. He knew what they were going to see. He knew they was going to see some negative things. And let's not hide our head in the sand. We're going to see some negative things in the 90s. But he also sent them at the time of the first ripe grapes. Ooh, in the beautiful summertime when everything was just fine and ripe. My God, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost here now. I believe God has sent us to St. Louis 1989 of November because it's the time of the first ripe of grapes. We're going to be able to taste things in this conference that we have not yet tasted. Come on, young folks. I hope you're not satisfied where you are. I hope you're not pleased with your spiritual condition, but you want to reach out and taste something else. We've got to have a taste of God if we're going to enter the 90s like we've never had before. And the church, the world, the conditions of the world are going to demand more of the church than it's ever demanded. Time when the country was most beautiful. I want to ask you a question tonight. Has our opportunity ever been any better than it is now? Think about it. Have we ever had as many conveniences as we have now? I can remember times when we didn't have these beautiful places, and I'm not that old, and I know I don't look it either. But I can remember when it wasn't as comfortable as it is now. We beat our way to a conference, break down on the side of the road. When we got there, things weren't right. And you know what? I told the church at home the other night, I said, we complain more about the things, our benefits, than we do the things we actually need. Well, my room ain't got but a double bed in it. It don't have two. You could be like some folks out on the street tonight that don't even have a bed. Well, I could go on. But I'm telling you, we have never had it as good as we've had it. Our opportunity has never been any better. And here they are sent through Hebron, where Father Abraham had dwelt. That should have increased their desire in itself, just to be able to pass where their father Abraham had passed. That should have encouraged them enough in itself, regardless of the negative things that they saw. My God, don't we appreciate where we've come from and our forefathers that preached this message and preached this truth? If you young folks appreciate it, I want you to stand up and holler hallelujah about three times. Woo! Hallelujah. You may be seated. I knew you couldn't sit down long. You never do. I don't know why in the world we put chairs in here. So the story goes that they returned from searching after 40 days. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but it's not quite yet 40 days to the 90s. Just a day or two or so less, and we're going to be entering this 90s. The Bible teaches us that some of those folks brought an evil report. Some brought gripes and others brought grapes. What are you bringing? Oh, they went through the story. Well, there's people stronger than we. They even eat up the inhabitants. They saw the giants, the son of Anak. And, you know, you compare cars to a certain car, and you compare copiers to a certain copier, and you compare things to a lot of other things. The sons of Anak, if you please, were a standard of comparison for the stress of size. That means they were big. You ever come up across anything that was big to you, boys, girls? Giant to you? They were hollering that the cities are walled and great. Yeah, and those Amalekites are over there too. They don't play fair. I mean, while we try to get a drink of water, they come up and try to whip up on us. Is that right? Y'all remember that? And the Hittites are there. Jebusites are there. I wish I had time to go in all of these. Amorites were there. We got a lot of ites too sometimes, don't we? Huh? Sure, there's a fight in Canaan. Sure, there's a fight that lay out ahead of us. But we're not spiritual wimps. My God, we can whip the devil on our knees. We don't even have to stand up to fight him. We kneel down and say, Jesus. 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 And he's got to go. You need not expect the world to come better. You need not expect the world to become more churchy in the 90s. Let me just slide this right in here. I hope you don't expect the church to become worldly either in the 90s. Satan knows his time is short. And we know that sin abounds. But where sin abounds, hallelujah. Finish it for me. Finish it for me. I can't hear you. Grace doth much more abound. God's going to give us grace for the 90s. Hallelujah. When they continue to take the Bible out of our schools, God and prayer out of our schools, don't expect it to get better. They're making laws every day, it seems like, to take it out. Understanding they're even taking Columbus and his Thanksgiving and the reason Columbus came and sailed the ocean and any mention of God out of the textbook. Come on, friend, I'm telling you, that's going to be a giant to us. That's going to be a Amalekite to us, or a Jebusite, or a Hittite, or any other kind of eye. It's going to be there. We're going to have to face those things in the 90s. Anything that pertains to God or Thanksgiving heritage or whatever, you can plan on them taking it out of your public textbooks. And at the same time, they're going to replace it with other things. Come on. Like sex education. You mean to tell you when sex went rampant? It's when they started teaching it in the public schools. The Bible said, I would that you be wise to that which was good and simple to that which was evil. You don't have to be educated on that stuff. My God's made us like he wants to make us, and he'll take care of himself at the right time. You heard what I said, at the right time. And let me tell you something. If I can't preach this tonight, what in the world can I preach? God forbid that our young boys and girls find themselves a partner before marriage. I'm talking about things that's happening in the 90s. Marriage is still sacred. You're not in the in crowd to give yourself up to the flesh. It's not smart. You'll wreck your life and have a memory there, girls and boys. That'll haunt you through your good married life somewhere down the years. I'm telling you some things we're going to face in the 90s. Wait a minute, I'm going to get positive after a while, but y'all going to have to hold on a little while. Replace it with sex education and promote gender, a gender neutral society. We're all equal. We all dress alike. Are they all dressed alike? Not we. Hey, I think we ought to have some more hand claps. That ain't near enough. My God, if your boy is a sissy, you need to take him out in the front yard and run his head in the dirt. Give us some men that look like men. Woo! Give us a man that look like men. Go to the barbershop about every 2 weeks. Come on, boys. I may be class, but let them class me tonight. Get your frilly shirts off and put you one that looks like a man on. Get a fist about you instead of a limpy wrist. I'm telling you some things that's going to hit us in the 90s. You look at the 80s and see how big they are. If you don't believe the 90s are going to be worse, you better get your head out of the sand, sir. Hallelujah. You girls need to keep the iron out of your hair. That means scissors. Don't tell me in 1989 we're going to change this message. God, give us some more young men that'll preach it. Give us some more old men that'll stand for it and get behind these young folks. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. My God, when I get around young folks, I get a little wild. Y'all hold up. Woo! You know the reason some of our churches are allowing this stuff? We hadn't preached against it in a while. Come on, boys. Preach it. Woo! You know why they don't obey it? You don't preach it. Woo! Hallelujah to God. We don't have to paint our faces to look pretty. Paint belongs on bars. I'm sorry. No, I ain't. Ponytail boys with earrings in their ears. Used to be they were stupid and unstable. Now they're accepted. You wait on the 90s. Hey, I'm not teaching and preaching you something that's not important. This is not a sideline. No mention of marriage. Husband and wife taken out. Huh? And the government gives you more off your income tax, I understand, if you just live together instead of getting married. Promoting this kind of stuff. And I'm having to pay income tax. That's my gripe. Isn't that right? I'm telling you, when marriage in the 90s is going to go down and these live-ins, and they call them shack-ups, that's not for apostolics. Live with one a little while. See if they like them. If they don't like them, live with somebody else. It's a sin. And because of all this lifestyle that the world is in, and it's getting worse in the 90s, they have had to legalize abortion. You said it, it's murder. You can't call it anything else. What if Mary had an abortion? I want to tell you something. We can be rocked to sleep. Slowly. And these things that once was trends turns into sin. And those things we once preached about and against. Let me tell you something. There are some things we have to preach against, young folks. Now, I'm not somebody said again everything. But there are some things I am against. More babies killed in wars. Abortions are easier to get all the time. They're funded and advertised. I'm talking about what's going to happen even more in the 90s. Pastors, if you don't think we got a fight on our hands, open your ears tonight. Open your eyes tonight. Look around at what's happening. Y'all want to go home? I need about four or five more to say that, I think. Praise God. Pornography is going to be a giant in the 90s. When you can pick it up off of the quick store shelf. Hey, mamas. How about it, daddies? When's the last time you looked through your boy's room and your girl's room? Hey, children, young folks, you shouldn't have to have a search through your room. If you got that stuff laying around, you need to burn it when you get home. It's addictive. In fact, all sin's addictive. Find it on the shelves at the quick stops. In book form. You can find it in video form. Pornographic video. Hey, don't get quiet. I think I done hit a sore spot here. Do you know what your boys and girls watch? And whether your mama or daddy lets you watch it or not, that should not even be the issue. You ought to have enough of spirituality about you to say, that's not a part of my lifestyle. That's not a part of my lifestyle. Praise God. I got more to think about than that stuff. It'll make an indelible impression on you that you'll never get away from. Your hearts are tender and your minds are virgin, if you please. And that stuff will make an impression on you. Well, I just think I'd like to see one to see what it's all. You don't need to. You don't need to. The Bible says you need to be wise to that which is good and simple, or ignorant, in other words, to that which is evil. Number one, pornographic books. Number two, pornographic video. Number three, pornographic music. It stimulates, it incites our flesh. Well, I'm strong. You're not that strong. I was raised in a Christian. You don't make any difference. You're not that strong. It'll turn over something in you you didn't think you had. When they promote murder in rock music, promote sex in rock music, that don't belong on your record shelf or tape shelf. You need to go home and have a record smashing party. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I can see that, but this country stuff, you know, it can't do much damage. Look, folks, if you think I hadn't got anything else to preach about but standards, come to Bethlehem sometime. I'll preach something. Well, while I'm here, I'm preaching this right now, okay? My sweet baby, I'm walking the floor over you. You're going to be walking the floor, wringing your hands. It'll lead to things worse than that. Come on, friend. There's some giants in the 90s that we're going to have to face. They're alluring. Don't you think for a moment they won't get you either. If you don't go into the 90s with your head set and your mind made up that I'm going to serve God no matter what comes or what goes. Sports is going. I'm not saying everything's wrong. Please don't get me wrong. But sports is going to get so big, and there's going to be so many scholarships, and there's going to be so many things that we as apostolics, because of our identity, if nothing else. I said if nothing else. They will allure us. Please, don't get me wrong. Now, hang in there. But it's going to get big in the 90s. We've got some talent in our Christian schools, and we've got some talent in our apostolic churches that the world would like to have. Come on, just be careful. I'm talking about some Amalekites and some Jebusites and Amorites. Amen. The drug situation is bigger and worse than it's ever been. Probably the biggest business in the world is drugs. And it slips in among us if we're not careful. Of the military, I understand, are users of drugs. 50% of high schoolers are users of drugs. We're spying the 90s, all right? 33% of college students are addicted. 33%. One out of three. Brother, I'm talking about walled cities. I'm talking about giants. Come on. I'm talking about things that will take away our identity. Things then after our identity is taken away. Listen to this succession of events and things that happen. Our identity is lost, it seems like, first. Come on. And then we have to justify our change of lifestyle, and so our doctrine changes. And then when our doctrine changes, we give up our joy. We give up our worship because we don't have anything if we don't have doctrine. We don't have anything if we don't believe in repentance. As this precious man preached last night, true Bible repentance and water baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, evidence by speaking in tongues and believing that there's one God. We don't have anything. We might as well throw it all away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. But while there's 10 over there belly aching and complaining and griping about the big and the bad things of the 90s. No, I just don't believe I can make it. There's a Caleb and a Joshua. Hallelujah. That says, look here. I got something to show you. Come on, Caleb. Come on, Joshua. There they come. The Bible said they brought it back on a staff. Just one cluster of grapes. It was so heavy that it took two men to carry one cluster of grapes. Joshua meant soldier saint. It meant prosperity and durable. And Caleb meant bold and acting with headlong energy. I believe I can make it back with these greats. Come on, let me have that thing. I want to touch this. Come on, come on. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if we can just show these to the people, I said if we can just show these to the people, surely, woo, surely they'll want to enter. Woo! Hey, if we can just get these greats home, surely they'll want to make it. Hang on. Sit down. Be still. Stand up. Run. I don't care. They said, we've come from the land that you sent us to spy out. And surely it floweth with milk and honey. surely it floweth with milk. Now don't rush me too much. I got to preach here. Y'all just hold these grapes a little while. And this, we've come from the land that you told us to go to, and this is the fruit of it. Everybody said, this is the fruit of it. This is what we've been looking for 15 and 20 years. It's a sealed building packed out. And if you'll go out there, there's probably about 150 more. Come on, this is the fruit of what's over yonder in the 90s. Others complained. Joshua and Caleb brought some fruit. Now, are y'all ready to go home, or can I preach about 15 more minutes? You know what? They didn't come up there and say, nah, it ain't going to be that bad. They saw them big giants too. Them sons of Anak that looked like, made us look like grasshoppers. They didn't come back and say, nah, it ain't going to be that bad. But I tell you what, they did come back with some fruit of the land. That's right. No. They didn't say it wasn't any giants over there. But they did say that these grapes weigh about a pound apiece. That's what I understand they were to have weighed, about a pound apiece. Have you ever eaten a grape that weighed a pound? You had never eaten one that weighed an ounce. Right? And these clusters, if you please, would be so large, 3 foot in length. And it took two men to reach around. Hey, don't tell me that we hadn't got something to offer the world. Achaeus, dwelling in those lands, said, when smitten by fever, one grape, I reckon so, one grape, as big as it was, one grape could quench the slake of thirst, if you please, for a day. If I can just get back down to church, I'm going to taste me some more grapes. There may be giants out there. Woo! But if I can get a taste at the master's table, if I can taste the heavenly gift one more time, woo! It'll quench my thirst. It'll dry my fever. It'll give me strength to fight. I said, it'll give me strength to fight. Strength to fight. Strength to fight. Strength to go on. One pound per grape. Besides the pomegranates, tasted juicy. Quench the thirst in hot climate. An emblem of peace in Bible times, and it was used for medicine. Figs and grapes and pomegranates. Brother, God knew when the right time to show it to them. When they was first ripe. Boy, you talking about some fertile land. Reminds me, over in Brazil, brother Juan Alvear, he looked out his window one day. I was sitting there, and another man from our church was with us, and he said, look over there, David. You see that light pole out there? See a light pole? He's talking about how Brazil grew figs and all these things, just real big. You know, he said, look at that light pole. He said, This morning it was about that tall. I'm telling you something, folks. We need to make this look good. Come on. We don't have to do much making. It's already good. Just taste it for yourself and see how good it is. Come on. Look at what happened to us in the 80s. Look in the past few years and see our Bible schools that flourished. Come on. We're training young men and young women to go out into the highways and the byways and to the foreign fields. God has given us some things in the 80s. Woo! And just look what it's going to be in the 90s. Come on. Just a cluster of grapes compared to what we're going to get in the 90s. Come on. I'm not prophesying, but I might be evangelistically speaking here tonight, all right? But I'm here to tell you, my God, we don't have to go to the world. I'm looking forward to our colleges teaching academics, having their own sports programs. We don't have to join the NFL. We can have the AFL, Apostolic Football League. You like that, Caleb? If the denominational world can have all of that, why can't we apostolics have it? Instead of one apostolic youth core, we can have four or five in the 90s. We can send one to San Diego and one to Nigeria, West Africa, and one to wherever you want to sit. It's going to be that big, folks. Come on. If you believe it and we work at it, it can be that big. If we have developed in the 80s this many good preachers, evangelists, stand up. Will you? All you evangelists, stand up. You have never seen a better bunch of preachers than you're looking at. Come on, keep standing. I want all you other young men that's preachers, I want you to stand up. Every young man here tonight, up to about 45. The youth age grows every year in our church. Because I entered 35 a few years ago, and the youth age is, look here. My God, look here. You're talking about preachers. You're talking about Holy Ghost preachers. If we can develop this in the 80s, what is the 90s going to give us? We're just seeing one cluster of grapes. You hear me? We're just seeing one cluster of grapes compared to what God's going to do for us in the 90s. Woo! Move over, Billy Graham. Move over, James Robinson. Move over, Jimmy Swaggart. Move over, Jim Baker. They've already moved over. Woo! Come on, friend. We got something that's going to happen to us. We're going to have some preaching machines in the 90s. Some soul winning preachers. Some preachers that can walk out there and say, you've got a cancer. Be healed in Jesus' name. Come on. Don't look at me like that. We're just seeing one cluster of grapes compared to what God has got in store. For this generation. You can go a long ways and you can see a lot, hear a lot of singing, but you won't beat this that we heard tonight. I like the way you do it, Reggie Nevitt. Come on. I like the way you do it, Karen Harding. I like the way you do it, Celeste Caples. Come on. Move over, Phil Driscoll. Move over, Carmen. Woo! We got some singers that'll sing you off the stage. Why? Because we've tasted the grapes. We've tasted the grapes. We got some behind us. Woo! I said we got some behind us. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Move over, Sandy Patty. Move over, Amy Grant. We're coming through. Come on. David, you did a good job out there on that field. Watching those sheep, picking up that pen and writing a few songs down. Boy, I like to sing them, David, but I'm afraid in the 90s you're going to have to back up and scoot over. Come on. Look, folks, we have developed some writers in the 80s. Come on. That'll supersede anything that the world can put out. Come on. We're headed somewhere. Used to, we have to get up there and sing their songs. Now then, they have to get up there and sing our songs. Woo! I'm glad I tasted one day of the heavenly gift. I'm glad I got a vision. We're just seeing a few songwriters here tonight. But you wait till we get into the 90s. Come on, you just wait till we step over to Promised Land. My God's going to open up some doors. We have got a tool. God is going to give us the tool to reach our generation through songwriters, through preachers, through young folks that are witness and pray and fast. In 1978, Brother Palmer didn't know why he told me this, but 1978 in Nashville, Indiana, we had a youth convention. I remember over there, we was running and hooping and hollering about like we are tonight. And I don't know if it was me or my dad, but one of us was running. Somebody told us, it's been a long time now. Somebody told us that there was a visitor in the crowd. And that he wondered why that guy was chasing that other guy. We said, we just running for Jesus. But the point I want to bring is in 1978, they had 70 rooms. Brother Palmer, am I telling it right? 70 rooms reserved for that convention in that hotel. 70 rooms. This year we've got over 800 rooms. I'm going to try to hurry so y'all can get to whatever y'all are going to get to after a while.